o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, with Tausch pinned against the concrete by a minivan in the parking garage high above the grass practice field near Camp Randall. Where are you now?
I'm not pinned against the wall. I'm in between two cars.
Between two ferns?
Something like that, yeah.
Is either of them your car?
No.
That seems interesting.
Well, why would I park where I'm going to stand?
Because then you could, like, if you want to lean against your car, you could lean against yours.
Get a
you
snack could out of the car.
Set your coffee on your trunk. Like,
that's why I should have had you come out with me and video and done the whole thing. Because you could have helped me with that. That's a misstep by old T.
Yeah, it is. You'll get no argument here. All right, Tausch, something happened yesterday. I was not part of this. Cody Krupp of Fox 11 Sports, the Fox affiliate here in Green Bay, spent some time talking to A.J. Dillon yesterday. We had spent some time earlier in the week talking about the back-to-back-to-back short yardage plays on which the Packers could not get a first down. Second, third, fourth down. A.J. Dillon got three cracks at it. The blocking was not good. We all agree on that. I think, you know, and I would say this to AJ to his face, too, that, you know, there's part of me that thinks when you've got a big back that can bulldoze things, you're expecting him to, even if it's not well blocked, to get a yard. I don't know how the coaches viewed it, but I don't think that that is. Do you think that's an unfair criticism by me first?
No, I don't. I don't think that's unfair.
So apparently, I don't know if my critique got back to him, but certainly there were some folks on social media taking screen grabs and what have you, and apparently getting after AJ on social media, which, again, I don't want to tell people and players how to handle that kind of stuff. Everyone's different. I am certainly sensitive. The best thing that ever happened to me was Elon buying Twitter, because it meant that I don't have access to TweetDeck anymore. I don't have a verified account, so I don't get as much attention as I used to get, which is all fine. It's been great for my mental health. But if you're an NFL player, it's kind of like Tausch always tells us about, if you listen to what the fans say, you're going to be sitting with them if you're a coach. I don't know if you ever want to acknowledge that that kind of stuff is out there. And he kind of did, even though he claimed he didn't, when he had this conversation with Cody yesterday. I want you to hear this and tell me what you think of what A.J. Dillon had to say to Cody Krupp of Fox 11 in Green Bay.
I graded a 98%. If you know football, you watch the tape, and you don't look at the stats, and you are actually put yourself in the game, somebody else go out there and do more than what I did. That's just a situation, and that's football. And sometimes you have a drive like that where, you know, a block doesn't happen here, block didn't happen there. I don't know what Twitter said, because I don't go on Twitter unless I'm posting something, but I can imagine somebody, you know, like, there's no where you're going to go there in those certain situations. But in all honesty, man, like, if you don't live inside my house, your opinion to me is so secondary that I couldn't be bothered with it. But to anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy, just watch. And I promise you, everybody in this building is working their ass off to do the best they can.
To everybody on Twitter, you can't do what we're doing, and I graded out at 98%. What'd you think of that?
A really bad look. For someone that has had really no missteps off the field, he's frustrated, and obviously he's heard all of this. And, you know, he is as active on Twitter as any player. So you can't have it both ways. Like, that's the part of this. Now, how he handled this and approached it, I would not have done. And I don't think if he has to do it again, I think he's too good at this. The PR and everything else, he's really good at it. He has done a great job ingratiating himself into the community and doing all the right stuff. I think he is a really good dude. I've, you know, done some stuff with him with Feeding America. I think his family's great. He does all the right stuff. This was not it. First off, you don't ever talk about what you're graded out at, and like that doesn't do you any good. And then kind of throwing a little shade at his O lineman. I didn't love that. It was not his best. I think he's feeling it a little bit. I think there's a pressure on him, and you know, I think the way the offseason played out with how, you know, he didn't maybe have the contract offers that he had hoped. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I think he has to just understand what he did there is not helping him at all. And for someone that is as smart and how he handles himself, this was just a big misstep by him, and it's not a big deal. I don't think this is something that's going to haunt him by any stretch, but it just was a bad day. A bad day, and he didn't handle it the way he handles all of these other situations. And he'll learn from that, and he won't do it again, would be my guess.
I am curious, Tausch, just for you mentioned the offensive line part of it, and I was thinking the same thing. Let's go back in time, like Wayne's World, and you're the right tackle. Does this get back to you? And if so, do you say anything to him?
You know what? Does it get back to you? You obviously hear about it because everything that is done and said, and especially when it comes to your position group, that's the case where I don't think you really need to go to him. I think you, if you're a veteran, you could say, AJ, man, not cool. Like, it doesn't need to be like a scream session or anything else, but it's just understanding how this is a team game, and you don't ever talk about other teammates, especially in a negative light. You could say, we as a group didn't get it done on short yardage. We all need to be better. I obviously need to lower my pads. I got to find a way, even maybe if it's not as clean as it needs to be. Like, and it's just, I think the reason it was surprising is because that's just, he doesn't do that. And
Agreed.
That's not how he's approached things in the past. And that just makes me think that I think he's feeling a little bit, and he wants to kind of continue to craft kind of how things are viewed, but that's not how this world works. Like, the stuff's out there. It is what it is. You didn't have a great performance, and it's a myriad of things. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but that's how this thing is judged. And when you try and pin it on other people or do different things, it's not going to be received well by anybody. And I'm guessing when AJ Dillon talks again, he wants the game to just get here and go out and play. And then he's going to handle this a lot differently. He will not approach this the same way he just with his comments from yesterday.
So the narrative around him, and look, I was very much carrying the banner of this because it was noticeable to me that he is slimmer, and yet he's still a big back. He does look fitter. Like Matt LaFleur, you know, teasing him about how he's got, you can see his abs. He looks like he should be on a calendar. The narrative around him was, I'm in the best shape of my life, I'm ready to go, and that he was answering the bell of the challenge of getting a small contract, not being given a big deal in free agency, not getting as much interest as he wanted to get on the market, and ending up back here. You know, the narrative was extremely positive on him. And so you said he's feeling it. If you're him, just like I asked Brian about Bo Melton bouncing back from his performance where he dropped three passes, like Bo, if you juxtapose the two approaches, Bo owned it, right? Like he called it my first really bad game as a Packer and the worst game I've had in a long time. Like, he just flat out owned it. Now, I'm not saying that AJ Dillon should take the blame for bad blocking. It's like you said, there's a way to say it that saves you from maybe looking the way this looked. So now what do you expect from him going forward after he vented, maybe in the wrong realm? But like, he's got to, if I'm going to ask you, what has Bo Melton got to do? I've got to ask you, what is he going to do with an opportunity, which he's going to get because Josh Jacobs is not playing on Sunday.
Yeah, it's, again, just go play good football. And if you do that, all this other stuff just becomes secondary. And so I think when you're looking at it from his perspective, you know, there's always a ton of competition. Mm-hmm. And everybody understands, like, not every game is going to go smooth. You're not going to have perfect games. Stuff is going to happen. Just roll with it and say, yeah, you know, it just, things didn't work out as well as we hoped. We need to pick up that first down there. I can't wait to get back out on the field. You know, we've had a really good camp. All of the stuff that a veteran and a smart guy like AJ will do. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do, just get back out on the field. This narrative will die after a couple of days, you know, how this goes. But he, I think, does need to put together a good performance, because I think the Packers are going to bring a running back in, or they already signed a guy. This is a position that I think the Packers looked at, and had it not been for, you know, some salary cap relief and not having to give a bunch of guaranteed money, they weren't going to bring A.J. Dillon back. So now this is the opportunity. I think he loves it. He loves being a Packer. He's everything that you want in a player, especially off the field. And he can provide some things that this group needs. Now he has to do it and not worry about all the Twitter and all of the other noise. Just get down to work, go play, and then just kind of keep that focus and actually not focus on any of that other stuff, because that party is right. Now, I don't necessarily know if he believes that that's right, because he uses Twitter as well as anybody, and he uses all of those things. So it's tough to kind of say that you're going to do this but not do that, and that's where the disconnect comes. So just go out and play good football and figure it out.
Practice is underway at Ray Nitschke Field. Carrington Valentine, who'd been sidelined for almost two full weeks with a hamstring injury, is doing drills today. They made a couple of moves because they are thin at a couple of positions, running back being one of them. That's why there's a big opportunity here for A.J. Dillon to change the narrative with what he does on Sunday against Denver, and with the joint practice scheduled for Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on at practice coming up. Tausch, you need to tell us, though, about Johnson & Sons paving.
Oh, you know I do, and Jesse's ready. Summer's here. But before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the three R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers or tenants off with a bad parking lot. Get it fixed. Connect with Johnson & Sons Paving today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit johnsonandsonspaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
Packers made a couple of personnel moves this morning as well. And they've lost, or they've moved on from, or maybe just temporarily while they need some extra bodies, have said, we'll see you later, to a former Badger. We'll tell you who that is, talk more about that, and where the Packers stand at a few other positions. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Making some roster moves this morning. They are shorthanded at running back and at linebacker, so they signed one player at each spot. They add Nate McCrary, who was actually in camp with them, I think, last year, at running back, and Chris Russell at linebacker. The corresponding moves, they released safety Tyler Coyle and former Badgers long snapper Peter Bowden. That's the second time, Tausch, Peter Bowden released in this camp. Now, last time they said, hey, stick around. We're going to bring you back. We don't know when. So he went home to San Diego and kept working out. And a week later, he was back. You obviously went through all kinds of training camps and 11 years in the league. This has got to be one of those times, though, when, well, we're short at this position, so we got to bring a guy in just to play the position. Now, maybe he does something and he makes our team or something, but more likely he's just a camp body. So we have to release you. But, hey, we'll call you. Don't call us. We'll call you. Is that just the nature of the business?
It's the tough part of the business, and I think you understand that. Players are really in tune with how this all shakes out, and the tough part is you can't look at it that way. Like Bowden had to come in there and look, I'm going to snap the heck out of it. I'm going to make it really difficult for you to get rid of me. And if there's an incumbent that everybody feels good about, it's going to be tough sledding. But you want to get film, you want to get tape, and you want to get on Goody's list of if something happens, here's our guy. So you always want to take advantage of every opportunity, understanding. That's why it's so goofy to me. You got 2-3 kickers on the roster for so long. As roster spots are, especially when you start looking at the injuries and you see a lot of injuries at linebacker this year, it makes it tough. But you understand it, and that's part of the deal. You realize at any moment you could, not be there. So you better make sure every day that you're there, make it count.
I'm going to be there shortly. I'm going to head down to practice a little bit later today because I want to get to a couple of things. And one of them is your pal, Dan Orlovsky. This will be something that Packers fans will love. I am curious. I watched the clip. It is I thought he made a reasonable argument, but he ranked the NFC North receiving cores. Would you like to guess the order, or would you like to give us your order, Tausch? You choose.
Yeah, I think it's a really competitive spot. And, knowing Dan, he knows ball. So, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thanks. Sunny out here in the shed. I think Detroit has got a really good group because you start looking at Laporta. You look at St. Brown. And if Jameson Williams is really good, you have a lot of guys that you feel really good about. So I think you're probably – and then you have the best receiver or the highest paid receiver in the entire league in that division. You got Addison helping out Jettis. So I would put the Bears last in that group. And they have a good group. Because they added Keenan Allen, and they
right.
added Odunze,
DJ Moore, yeah,
and they got DJ Moore. So, I would guess again. I mean, we look at this the closest. Tell me a division that's got it better at those spots, but I think with Green Bay, and I think Orlovsky's probably going to put Detroit first and Green Bay second, just because you don't necessarily have that high priced guy. And the tight end spot, I think, is going to be where you don't know what you got. And Detroit, Minnesota, obviously, with Hockenson, and with the Bears, I think it's Cole Kmet. That is where I think the differentiation will be. But I think Orlovsky respects the 5 or 6 guys and knows that the upside of this group is very high. So I think he's going to have them second.
So here are Dan Orlovsky's NFC North receiving core rankings. At number 4, the Detroit Lions. At number 3, the Chicago Bears. At number 2,
I got a hard time, and I think Justin Jefferson is obviously a needle mover, but it is paid Amon St. Brown. They have a 15th pick that is healthy finally and doesn't have all the cloud over him. And I think the best tight end in the division and who I recommended Max draft last night is Laporta.
Was Laporta.
They go to him a ton. Yeah. So the fact that they're 4th in Dan Orlovsky's ranking, and I also took into account he's a former Lion? Because I look at biases when I see this.
Mm-hmm.
That's very telling to me that that's where he's got those guys ranked.
The Vikings number two and the Packers number one. Does Dan still know ball?
I think, Dan knows ball. I'm not going to besmirch Dan. The intriguing part of that is it's so subjective.
No
and
doubt.
I'm guessing if you ask the Lions, they'd tell you that they feel good about their group and that they should be one. And if you're asking Minnesota, they would laugh and say, well, of course, we have the best wide receiver in the league. And the same thing goes Chicago would say, well, we have DJ, we have all this young talent, and we have the veteran. So that's the beauty of it. And Green Bay obviously feels really good about where they're at. So I get it. I understand it. And I think it's so tight that even if you're in fourth place on Dan's pool, I still believe he feels like there's a lot of really good players and that, you know, maybe from Green Bay's side, you're just banking on all of this potential that you hope is going to pay off, because I think Green Bay's receiving core is going to be really good. And it's just a matter of who is going to kind of be that shining, that beacon that everybody's going to be drawn to.
Ooh, love a good beacon. I'm curious, you didn't put the Packers first on your list.
I would not.
We're talking about biases. Why not?
I just need to see more. I think when I'm looking at it, I think Detroit with – he has emerged as one of the top wideouts in the game in St. Brown. And I was a fan of Jameson Williams. I think he showed up big time when he was healthy. And now he's healthy. So I don't like their quarterback in comparison to what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand scheme of things, I think LaPorta is a heck of a tight end. And I add all those things up. And, you know, if Gibbs is healthy out of the backfield, he is a dynamite threat.
Mm-hmm.
Their skill position group is really good. And their O-line is really good. That's why Detroit was really good last year. This wasn't, you know, just because they draft. They have a lot of talent. And that's why I put them ahead. And I put Green Bay second strictly just because I'm not sure about the rest of it. In the tight end spot, you know, who's going to emerge as that? Those are my question marks. And that's why I put them second.
Well, and Dan made it very clear that he was including tight ends, which I think is important. And if you're doing that, the reports are that TJ Hockenson not only is not going to be ready for when the season begins, but he may not be ready till November after tearing his ACL. I believe, wasn't that on New Year's Eve against the Packers that he got hurt? So
I don't know that for sure. That's a big blow, obviously, to them. And
yes.
So I just – Minnesota is such a one – I know Addison has done a nice job, but quarterback matters too. You know, quarterback matters, and they don't – McCarthy, you don't know how long he's going to be out, and Sam Darnold has not been successful wherever he's been. He's got an opportunity, but I'll just continue to think he said that seeing ghosts, and that's why these quotes and all this stuff matters. Do you stop seeing ghosts? Do you get an exorcist? I don't know. But when I have a quarterback that says anything about seeing ghosts, I'm super nervous if that quarterback is leading my favorite team. That I do know.
Well, if you're seeing ghosts and you need to call the Ghostbusters, you got to be able to pay the Ghostbusters. And that means maybe you want to go see Fortrea so you can make a little extra cash to get your exorcisms done.
Yes, indeed. And you got that big trip out to Brazil. You got all these fun events that you want to get to. You want to go down to games. It costs money. Fortrea's got you covered to get you a little bit of that money with some clinical trials that'll fit your time frame. Healthy men, age 18 to 55. Body mass index, 18 to 32. One study, 6 nights. $3,290 for your time and participation. Another one. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI of 18 to 32. This one, one stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-up visits, and oh, baby, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Pelly. But before that, time for Tausch to tell us of his love of the Blue Mountains.
Oh, Coors Light's brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And I'm bummed that I'm not heading out to Golden, Colorado and watch the pack inner squad versus Denver and everything else. But it is born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. Coors Light's refreshing. It's crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado. I bet somebody from the organization's going out to Golden, checking out where all the goodness is made right down there in Golden, right up the street from Denver.
Apparently they like green and gold.
Green and Golden. Time now for Wonelli.
Topic is good. The guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
So, an interesting article from ESPN's Dan Graziano. While we're having Dans who are providing interesting NFL commentary. Over at ESPNWisconsin.com, you can read it with an ESPN Plus subscription. The 11 NFL teams he expects to likely make a quarterback change after this year. I won't ask you to guess all 11 unless you really want to.
Okay.
The interesting takeaway, I will name the 11 teams for you very quickly here. Atlanta, Carolina, Dallas... with Dak Prescott, the Raiders, Rams, Saints, Giants, Jets, Steelers, Seahawks, and Titans. Those are the 11 that could be in a position to make a quarterback change. What stands out to you on that list, Tausch?
Well, I mean, obviously the Jets and how this season goes. You know, Aaron Rodgers took a big pay cut to stay. I think his goal is to play for a little bit longer, but we shall see. I mean, I think that's that is going to be an intriguing storyline. And then Dak Prescott and that situation. And they can't tag him. They're going to have to pay him top dollar. And I wonder how much of Dak is like, you know what? It's great being the quarterback for the Cowboys, but these guys, man, they keep jerking me around and not giving me the deal and making me earn this and not So you'll wonder if there's going to be an interest enough for someone to pay 60-some-odd million dollars. So it's I agree with a lot of that list. I don't necessarily know if they're going to get rid of Kirk Cousins after 1 year when you give him 50 guaranteed. But if old boy Penix is coming on, yeah, you make that move. Maybe trade Kirk Cousins. That's the beauty of this business. There's so many unknowns and so many narratives get flipped on their head. But a lot of the narratives that old boy just said, I totally agree with.
All right. So you can't – I know we don't talk about him much anymore, but you can't gloss over the Jets one.
No, I didn't. I said that's going to be super interesting.
Okay, but do you if you're I'm forcing you and myself, forcing you and me both to put together our crystal ball. And watch out for that truck that's gonna back over you because you've already got sidled.
I thought you don't like predicting things.
I don't. So okay. I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone to do that here.
I like it.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is A, the quarterback of the New York Football Jets in 2025, B, the quarterback for another NFL team in 2025, or C, retired from the National Football League in 2025? You have to pick one.
I
just
understand.
Just like I have to pick one.
I think he'll be the quarterback for another NFL team.
I think so, too.
And
I think so too.
Had the Vikings not drafted McCarthy, it would have just been so sweet and so poetic.
Mm-hmm.
If old number 8/12 would have finished in Minneapolis. And I wouldn't say that there's no chance of that happening because they'll have, yes, they're paying Jay Jettis a bunch, but McCarthy's not making a ton. And if they think he could still play and that's something that Aaron Rodgers would want to do, how great would that be for this league, for our show, for everything? But I think if Aaron Rodgers has a down year, he is going to fight like heck to come back, whether or not somebody's going to want to pay him the money that he's going to be due. Like, there's that's why it's such a interesting, as I said earlier, season to watch unfold, because I think the Jets, they are as big of a boom bust scenario as they possibly could be, and they need to get off to a fast start. That thing is going to implode if they don't, and if they do get off to a good start, I can see that team taking off, rising up into the clouds, soaring over Hempstead, New York.
I think he's going to have a good season. I think they're going to come up short of the Super Bowl, but he will have redeemed himself in New York, and he will still be the king of Gotham.
So he doesn't, Jason, back for another year. You study Aaron Rodgers more than anybody. Is his contract,
Ian O'Connor,
is his contract have any guarantees left after this season?
So here's what's interesting about Rodgers' contract, and we talked about this. This is another example of him doing things that he hadn't previously done with the Packers, right? The offseason program thing, the embracing young players thing. And then remember last year, before his injury, he took this massive pay cut.
Yeah, 35 mil.
In an effort to help the team. Mm-hmm. Here is Aaron Rodgers' 2025 contract as it currently stands. He has a base salary of $2.5 million.
That's doable.
He has a proration of his signing bonus of $7
million. That's $9.5 million.
He has an option bonus of $14
million. All right, that's 23 and some change.
His cap hit for 2025 is $23.5 million.
Mm.
Now, he's got a bunch of void years that are on this contract. So they're going to get walloped sooner or later with some cap challenges. But again, if he were to choose, they could probably pay him some money to make him a little better, paid, while also creating some cap space again in the future. So it is very possible for him to be back with the Jets, should they want him back and should he want to continue.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that, again, right now you're looking at it and saying no way. A couple of things. I just get the sense. He
Spidey
wants
sense.
To finish his career in San Fran, where he should have started it. He is a big bring it all together guy. Brock Purdy struggles this year. San Fran doesn't quite climb that mountain. And Brock Purdy hasn't been paid. Aaron Rodgers says, you know what? Deuces B, and heads out and plays with Kyle Shanahan, which is what started that whole firestorm off a couple years ago. I think that would be almost, and if not more, intriguing. And then, as the Niners have been our thorn in our side, how sweet would it be if Jordan Love goes into San Fran and beats Aaron Rodgers to end his career as a 49er? That's just how my mind works. How fascinating. That Mr. Storyline would be everything you'd want.
I would be. That would be incredible. There's no, I'd be fascinated. I still think he's a Jet and a Jet all the way.
Well, with that, when it comes to when those numbers and the fact that it's structured, I think ideally, but if they don't win this year, their coaches and GMs are going to get, and then are they going to really want to hitch their wagon, whoever they hire, to a 42-year-old quarterback?
No,
I doubt it.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Evan Cohen had a great poll on Unsportsmanlike a couple of weeks ago about the best February storyline ending. You know, the Chiefs repeating, the Browns and the Lions both making a Super Bowl, but one of them was Jets Packers. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for it.
Poor me,
but
coach.
I don't see that happening. Yeah, poor. Indeed. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
So, just another quick thought on this list. What stood out to me when I read it first thing was
divisions.
Every division has one team on this list of 11 that could move on from their quarterback this year.
Except
the NFC North. And I thought that was fascinating, especially given where the Vikings are.
You have two rookie quarterbacks, and you have two quarterbacks that just signed the fat extensions. What do you expect?
Well, I guess I didn't expect it. It just confirmed that the NFC North is going to be super competitive, likely, for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Maybe. Just because you do these things doesn't mean you're going to be star-spangled awesome. Like, you think the Vikings are feeling great about where they're at? They might lie to you and tell you they're. They're not. They're not. Chicago feels great, but they feel great every offseason. So, come on.
There may be the appearance of stability at quarterback in the NFC North, and certainly Jordan Love and the contract that Jared Goff got give them stability. Obviously, drafting the guy number one overall means he's going to be the guy for a while, but we don't know how good he's going to prove to be. Right, Caleb Williams. Again, I'm rooting for him to be very good to revitalize the rivalry. But I was a doubter on J.J. McCarthy when they drafted him. Now he's going to get the Tausch treatment. He won't be playing until at least Thanksgiving, if at all, this season. So we'll see if that helps his growth as a young quarterback. Tausch, I don't know if there was any blowback yesterday. I didn't reach out to Sarah. I didn't want to poke the bear of getting you mad that I was trying to stir the pot with your criticism of her. So I just left it be. But I'm curious if there was any conversation about your public critique, like Matt LaFleur, about Sean Ryan's conditioning, about her gas station avoidance in Door County.
Yeah, she loved it. Summer weather is about to turn to fall. She did. Well, anytime we could talk Quick Trip, she loves it. And my grill, it's been getting quite the workout. My go-to right now, of course, from Quick Trip, ground beef straight from the Quickery. $2.99 a pound. When I want to make burgers from scratch, Max just made some last night. It's got these little smash burgers, a little crust on the edge. Perfect ingredient. You know how great, you know, great ground beef deals aren't the only thing about Quick Trip that they have to offer. You know, I'm the chicken guy. Roasted chicken every Monday for $5.99. Bone in and tender deals today, $9.99 on Wednesdays. Did I mention the tenders? They're hand breaded and boneless and absolutely delicious. Grab Quickery white bread for 99 cents a loaf and make some sandwiches. And we're in Wisconsin after all. So the dairy deals at Quick Trip are second to Nature's Touch American cheese. Only $1.99. Perfect for that burger. Put it on there. Boop. Yep. Finish off every meal with Nature's Touch vanilla or chocolat. I'm going to go vanilla. You know that. For $2.99. All these deals and more at Quick Trip. Download the Quick Rewards app. Order ahead, earn points, get those points, get the gas discount, all the great stuff, and you take care of the payment. Just stop by to pick it all up, or you can get it brought to you curbside at your local Quick Trip.
We'll wrap things up.
I should have done that with gas. Had them pull right off to the side as my Ford Motion said, hey, can you bring me 3 gallons? Right. I don't know if Quick Trip's doing that yet.
But I don't think they are.
Beaver Dam. Hey, I'm going to be flying through here. Schedule the beer at 10:52 at night. Can you sidle up next to me? Just throw 3-4 gallons in my
the
tank.
The sidling.
Move along.
You want curbside gas to be
asking.
The next thing?
No,
but
I'm just asking.
I feel that feels so unnecessary for what you actually do to get out, like pump the gas. It's just the. It's the.
I'm just bringing up
same
something.
Thing.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just bringing up something.
Quote. All right. We will wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Slow down on Monday. Not a sound on Wednesday. Yeah. Might get loud on Friday. But on Saturday.
Closing out today's Wildy and Tausch. Tausch, is there breaking news from the Badger football realm that you are part of today?
It seems as if there is. I think it was kind of known, and if you're listening to you know, different Badger folks that cover this team on a daily basis, you knew that old boy was going to be the quarterback, but Van Dyke was talked and named by Phil Longo at a little press gathering after today's practice as the starter, which, again, not a surprise. He also made sure to mention that Locke had a really good camp, and it's more of a 1A and 1B type situation, which as a backup, I don't really –
doesn't make it feel any better.
That's not how that works.
I'd rather be like two and just know, hey, I'm number two. But I think the point is that, you know, Braden put together a really good camp and, you know, continue to make Van Dyke work. But it was pretty obvious, at least the last week or two, that that was going to be the case. And that was announced right after practice this morning.
So what do you make of that? What is it? How does it make you feel about what this offense can be? And you've obviously seen him in action more than the rest of us have. How do you kind of view it?
Well, I just think when you look at, you know, Braden stepped in last year for, I think, three games when Mordecai busted his hand up. And I thought he, for a young player, stepped in and handled himself really well. I think in a you know, how we look at this in the NIL world, when you make that decision to bring Van Dyke from Miami up here, you kind of are saying, man, I really, this is the way you're hoping. And then spring kind of played itself out and it was pretty competitive, and training camp, this fall / summer camp started. And I think it was a good competitive battle, but that was what Luke, that's why Luke Fickell and Phil Longo brought him in, is to be this guy. So here you go. I think his arm and what he's able to do is really good. I think the questions will be, you know, how elusive in the pocket can he get out and make plays with his feet? Because we saw Braden Locke was able to do that last year. So I think Badger fans should be really excited in the fact that he slings it. I think he's going to be a guy that understands this offense. He's going to put the ball where it needs to be. And this receiving core has gotten a lot better too. So I think it's not a big shock to anybody, but it was announced, and I think now the Badgers are saying, let's get ready. Let's get moving for that Friday night opener against Western Michigan.
All right, Jesse, we're almost out of time. We didn't get to this on Whoa Nelly. Do you really want people to come find you at the game tonight?
No. Maybe.
Then why did you say that?
Why not?
It depends if they're bringing him a beer or a hot dog.
Well,
I think if it's just to come up and give him grief, probably not. But if they're going to bring him something, I think he's open to it.
Might also depend on the people that are going to come say hi. Like, if you're not going to be weird about it, sure, come say hi. I'd love to say hi to you. If you're going to be weird about it, then just keep to your
Who's
thing.
Going? You got tier one going with you?
No, it's me and Becca and her friends Heather and Karina. So the four of us are going.
That's the pickleball people.
The pickleball group is, we canceled pickleball this week in lieu of going to the Brewers game. So. Yeah, they beat up on them on pickleball every week.
Just
might as well treat them to a Brewer
game. Just don't
come
back if things don't go well, pouting about big markets. Okay? That's all
I might.
I know you might.
I'll see it in person tonight. I'll scout it for myself. I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow.
Sounds like a good plan. All right, that's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full-show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.